So on average, most people went quite well in the exam. We've got the answers. The answers are available on the website, but let's go through some of them. We'll go through some of them, especially the most interesting ones today. The first question was a set of select the correct answer or select one of the acronyms that best fits the answer. In some cases, there are multiple correct answers. Perhaps the ones which a lot of people had trouble with was the first one, in fact. The difference between when we spoke about the different mobile network technologies, we talked about the 2 and 2.5G technologies. The upgrade to the 3G technologies, including UMTS, including HSPA, can use the same hardware. However, the next upgrade to technologies such as LTE need significant hardware upgrades. A lot of people gave HSPA here as an answer. I marked that incorrect. That doesn't, although it's an offers higher speed, it's not necessarily a significant hardware upgrade necessary. So what's important is not just the software upgrades, but the extra cost of doing a hardware upgrade. The others, most people went okay. DSL technologies, not ADSL. ADSL refers to asymmetric. So that one wasn't too hard. Question two, the difference between mobile IP and NEMO. If we have a train and everyone on board that train have their mobile devices, then to provide mobility of this network, so this is in fact a mobile network, the train itself is mobile, then all of the hosts, all the people with their mobile devices must support mobile IP. In fact, as well as the mobile router. So if you have a router on board the train that provides, say, wireless LAN access for everyone on their laptop, without NEMO, all of those laptops must support mobile IP. That's a problem because with mobile IP there's a lot of signaling. You need to send a lot of packets to register. It takes time and it introduces extra overhead. So with NEMO, you just have one device that does that on behalf of all the laptops. If you use mobile IP only, you need to have all the laptops doing this signaling. So the disadvantages, or the advantages of using NEMO is that you don't have to do signaling for all devices, just the mobile router, and the individual devices do not need to support mobile IP, making them less complex and easier to manage. Some people had an idea of the difference or the characteristics of ad hoc networks but did not describe them very well. Infrastructure-less, quite simply, you have no pre-deployed infrastructure like base stations, cables, servers. The advantage of that is that you can deploy the network quickly. You don't have to go and dig a hole to put the cables in. You don't have to go and set up a server by or rent place to place base stations. So quick deployment with low cost. Disadvantage, it's hard to control and manage that network. With a central base station or with special servers, you can manage who accesses the network. Without such a device, it's hard to control. Dynamic topology, the topology changes quickly. Good thing, the nodes can be mobile and still communicate. Bad thing, routing protocols need to adapt quickly. This is a long question about wireless LAN and mobile IP. Most people understand understand passive and active discovery, beacons versus probe requests, probe responses. This next three parts, A, B, C, and D, not many people got correct. Part B says, if the access points are using different frequencies, how does the client decide to hand over? So if we draw the coverage area, the coverage area of these two access points, if our mobile device is moving, it's initially in the coverage area of access point one, then if the two access points are using different frequencies, then what happens? This is a good question when we cover... Okay, go back. Let's answer your question. In your lecture notes, there's a slide that lists the general characteristics of ad hoc networks. That's not specific to be infrastructure-less. So that's the name of the networks. Infrastructure-less networks is the name of or refers to those type of networks, but the specific characteristic of not having infrastructure, what does that mean? What does that bring us as a benefit and as a disadvantage? So these characteristics are characteristics in general of these networks. This question was about two specific characteristics. One having no infrastructure, the second having dynamic topology. No, these are the advantages, these are characteristics of ad hoc networks. The question asks about two specific characteristics. So it's any characteristic of ad hoc networks, it's about that specific one of having no infrastructure. Wireless LAN, handover. How do we know to change access points? If the two access points are using different frequencies, then we associated with access point one. So we're associated with access point one, we're moving. How do we know to switch over? How do we know to hand over? Not many people got this. Anyone got the correct answer? This is a question for part B. So the important thing is that you must leave this access point before you know anything about this one. Because they're using different frequencies, the client can only hear about or only hear beacons on that one frequency. It can only hear from access point one. It has no knowledge about access point two. And therefore, it must leave or disassociate with access point one, change frequency, and then learn about access point two. That takes time. So this next part says what happens if they use the same frequency. If they use the same frequency, when the mobile node is here, it can receive beacons from AP1 and AP2. And then it can do a comparison. Which one's stronger? So in the first part, you cannot do a comparison because you don't know about AP2 because it's on a different frequency. You don't even know it exists. In this part, you can compare the signal strengths. That's the important difference between those two mechanisms for handover. What other questions were interesting or people had trouble with? Question 5. straight from last year's exam. A lot of people got that. Be careful with your descriptions. A lot of people got question 6. Again, question 7, many people were on the right track but made some small mistakes which led to a loss of marks. I think we cannot go through that. Look at the answers there. Some people forgot that the access point transmitted data as well. So be careful with reading the question. We cannot see that. Last question, mobile IP. When host 2 moves to here, the packets go via G and then back up via B to node H and then to the host. So if you got full marks, then that's excellent, and you don't have to study this topic anymore, these topics before the midterm anymore. If not, then you should make sure that you know where you went wrong so that any subsequent questions you'll be able to answer on these topics. So check the answers. Check what you're finding difficult so that you can make up with it on the final exam. Anyone have any questions about their exam? Everyone's happy with their marks? If you have questions, now's the time to ask because I'm going to collect your exams in a moment. Any questions? You need to improve on your attendance and on your final exam. Let's see how the assignment goes. Explain two methods referring to the types of packets. Tremendous router solution solicitation. How does the router solicitation work? You send a solicitation, you get an advertisement back. This is one method. How does this method work? That's why you got 2 out of 3. How did the packet come back? Everyone's happy with their score? I'm saying that this part, the meaning is okay, but at this advantage okay, the pro is not, the advantage is not. If some nodes clash, it's not a cross of clash, it's, what does this mean? Some nodes... Some nodes are down, then okay, I'll give you one extra mark. Any other questions?
No.
Okay, pass me your exam. I want to collect them before we move on. I don't know. Have a look at last year's scores. They're somewhere on the website. Exams. Exams. goes there and then back up to there. Line zero, so you should just give two lines and you can get two marks. Didn't answer the question. It just if you want to see them after looking at the exam answers, so have a look at the exam answers if you want to see. This will be very soon, assignment marks. Maybe today. I've got one more exam to mark first. One more course. So let's recap on what we know about TCP. I want to cover why our sending rate is approximately equivalent to the window size divided by the round trip time, and go into some of the reasons why we've approximated some values, because I think that can be confusing sometimes. So we know there are four different mechanisms. When there's a packet loss, two different responses, two different ways to decrease, involving a multiplicative decrease, depending on the type of packet loss. Additive increase. Note that this is just one way to implement the additive increase. It doesn't have to be the same as this, but it's a common way. Just for reference, I'm writing down these equations. The multiplicative decrease is halving. But there's also some other things that we do when we there's two different variations of how we reduce the window. And in slow start, we double the window. Well, the intention is to double the window size every round trip time. Slow start. One way to implement that, every time you receive an ACK, increase the window according to here. The new value is the old value. That gives us approximately doubling the window. And the last set of details is how do we respond to it? Timeouts and duplicate acts. we say we want to halve the window, let's be more precise. Because we have actually two different responses. So sorry, let's write this twice. Or time out. We have two different responses of decreasing the window. Duplicate acts, half the threshold. And set the window to the value of that new threshold. So just a summary of ways to implement the algorithm. The source, it would have some code that does this. Every time we receive an ACK, either this is calculated or this, depending on whether the window is above or below the threshold. This one's used for above the threshold, the slow start threshold, this one for below the slow start threshold. When there's a packet loss, depending on the type of packet loss, the slow start threshold is halved. And then if it's a packet loss identified by three duplicate acts, the window is set to the slow start threshold. Otherwise, if packet loss is due to a timeout, the window is set to the minimum value, which is one maximum segment size. So that's a summary of the calculations of the congestion window. Let's find... We didn't go through this example or this equation before. This is from slow start. So in slow start, remember the objective is to double the window every round trip time. To achieve that objective, one way, every time we receive an ACK, increase by one maximum segment size. We'll see why that works with a more detailed example. The same concept as the detail we went through in the morning for the first additive increase. Additive increase aimed to increase by one maximum segment size every round trip time. 10,000, 11,000, 12,000. To implement or achieve that, this is an equation that gets us close. But this equation is updated or calculated every time we receive an ACK. Let's see why that works. By looking at some of the approximations we've made, just to make it clear. Let's draw in a little bit more detail and give some examples to illustrate what happens when we send multiple packets in one round trip time. Let's consider the first packet. When we say a packet or a segment, I mean one of the maximum segment size. So let's assume the maximum segment size is 1,000 bytes, just for simplicity. We transmit... or one MSS. Let's say that's the initial value, which is common, to initialize CWND to one maximum segment size. 1,000 bytes, for example. Or in essence, one segment. It means we can send one segment, and then we'll have to wait for an ACK. So this illustrates that we transmit the segment, and it has to be transmitted across the internet. So it takes some delay. The delay is not just propagation, but transmission by the routers, as well as queuing delay in the routers. It takes some time to get to the destination. When the destination receives, it transmits an ACK in response, which takes some time to get back. The transmission time, and let's put some numbers to it, if we have, this is my source computer, if I'm using Ethernet, then the data rate, 100 megabits per second, if the segment is 1,000 bytes, ignoring the header, which is quite small, if we have 1,000 bytes transmitted at 100 megabits per second, it becomes 8,000 divided by 100 million, which is 0.08 milliseconds. Is the time just to transmit this segment out of our computer. Quite small. And let's say once I transmit it out of the computer, it needs to go to a router in SIT and then be transmitted to a router elsewhere in Thailand, and it eventually goes to the US, the destination. And let's say that the total time it takes to get to the destination, so from after I transmit to here, is about 50 milliseconds. That is, the time to propagate across the internet is very large compared to the transmission time. So it takes 0.08 to get out, 50 to get across. The ACK will be much less than this. The ACK is very small as well. So it'll be, let's say, 0.01 millisecond. And then another 50 approximately to get back. The round trip time is the time from here to here. And let's set it to 100 milliseconds, approximately, where, importantly, the transmission time is very small compared to the total round-trip time. And that's common in the internet. The time to transmit one packet out of my computer is very small compared to the time to get that packet across the internet. Even if the destination is somewhere in SIT, transmission time is very small usually. That's why I try to draw it where this is small compared to all of this. We'll see the significance of that in a moment. So we transmit one segment because that's all we're allowed to transmit because of the congestion window says we can send one maximum segment size, 1,000 bytes. Transmit, have to wait for an ACK. Receive the ACK, and we're in the initial stage, so we're using slow start. Apply this algorithm. The new value equals the old value plus one maximum segment size. So the new value is what in our case? In our example, the new value of our window will be, I know you're trying harder, what's the new value? In slow start, the old value was 1,000 bytes. So using this equation, what's our new value of the window? What's the maximum segment size? We used the example this morning. What value did we use? One maximum segment size is, as an example, 1,000 bytes. The initial value of our congestion window I've set to 1,000 bytes. So the new value of the congestion window will be old value, 1,000. MSS, 1,000, new value. Old value, 1,000. New value, 1,000. MSS, 1,000. New value, 2,000. It's that simple. This is applied when we receive an ACK. If we're in slow start phase, that means we're in slow start phase. If the window is less than the threshold, we haven't said what the threshold is. Let's say it's high. At the start, we're in slow start phase. Maximum segment size in our example is 1,000, meaning we can send 1,000 byte segments. The original value of the congestion window is 1,000. So when we receive our first ACK, we can increase it to 2,000. Or 2 seconds. With MSS equal to 1,000, we can send 2 segments. Initially we could send 1 segment, now we can send 2 segments. So we transmit our 2 segments, one after the other. And because the transmission time is very small, again, I'll continue here. That was the first, and then if we move up here, we transmit 2 segments. Each of them takes about 0.08 milliseconds. Propagation across the internet and back, about 100 in total. The first segment is received. Let's put specific numbers to these. If the transmission was 0.08, and let's put this one to be 0.02, and the time to get from here to here is, what would that be, to make 100, 0.1, 4, 5. Let's say the time to get across in one direction is the same in the other direction. I only chose these numbers so it adds up to 100. Let's check. 49.45 plus 49.45 is... No. Wrong. What do we want? 0.1 is 0.95. I'm missing one. 49.95 plus 49.95 is 99.9 plus 0.08 plus 0.02 is 100. Everyone agree with that? The only reason I chose these numbers is so that these four components add up to our what we've used in our example, a round trip time of 100. Takes 0.08 to transmit out of my computer very fast. To get from my computer to the destination on the other side of the world, let's say it takes exactly this in milliseconds. To transmit the ACK back, let's just give a number, it's 0.02, very fast. And for that to propagate across the internet, another 49.95. Total round trip time, 100 milliseconds. If we give the same numbers in the next instance. So that was the first segment. Now we can send 2 segments. So let's transmit those 2 segments. We start at time 100. Is it 0, 100? This one takes 0.08. This one 0.08. 49, let's consider the first segment, 49.95 to get there, another 0.02. The ACK for this first segment will come back at time 200. We start at time 100, round trip time of 100, it comes back at time 200. What time does the second ACK come back in this case? Anyone can calculate. When does the second acknowledgement arrive back? So we've transmitted two segments. One ACK for each segment is going to come back. The second ACK comes back at try and calculate. At what time does it come back? The first act came back at time 200.100. We start transmitting at 100 point. This time here is 100.08. So we transmit the first frame from my computer. It takes 0.08 milliseconds. I start transmitting the second frame here at 100.08. 0.08, 49.95, 0.02, 49.95, another 100. You arrive back at 200.08. Round trip time total for each data, propagate, act, propagate, is always going to be 100. 100, 100, 100. Now, these are very close. That's the point we're going to make. But because the transmission time is very small relative to the total round-trip time, approximately, in this case exactly, we've sent one data segment in one round-trip time. In this case, we've sent two data segments in a total of 100.08. Start at 100. Finish at 200.08, we've delivered two data segments in that time. If I was to calculate the throughput, in the first instance, I can do it up here, total amount of data, 1,000 bytes, one segment, divided by the total time of 100 milliseconds. The second case, we have two segments, so 2,000 bytes, divided by the total time, which is 100.08. So that's the exact calculation of the sending rate in this case, the amount, and which is identical to the throughput. Here, data size divided by total time, data size, which is two segments, divided by the total time, which is 100.08. Because the transmission time of these frames is very small relative to the total round-trip time, let's approximate this to be about 100. And that's what we've done in our analysis in the past. That's why I said it's approximately, the sending rate is about the window size, CWND was 1,000 in this instance, divided by the round-trip time. In this case, it's the window size, which is 2,000, divided by the round-trip time. It's not exact, but as you can see, we're using 100.08. We can use approximately 100 to represent that. So that's where we introduce this approximation to make it simple. And that's where we get the sending rate is approximately equal to the window size divided by the round-trip time. And it's why these algorithms work, of increasing the window according to our aim. In this case, increase by one maximum segment size per round trip time. In this case, doubling every round trip time. Any questions on this? So instead of calculating these exact numbers, we just approximate and say, okay, it's about the amount of data divided by the round trip time. Even if there were 10 segments, let's try. That's what the example we did before in the morning. We said if there were 10 segments to send. That is, we kept doing this. Actually, let's do a different case. We've got 2,000. We just sent two segments. In slow start, we'd double. We'd be allowed to send. Well, let's do it specifically. Receive this ACK. What's the window at that point? After receiving the first act, we increased the window to 2,000. After receiving the second act, we increased the window to what? We're still in slow start. What's the new value? Use our equation. We're in slow start. Every time we receive an act, we apply our equation. So what's the answer? 3,000. It's the current value, 2,000. Receive an act. Take the current value, or the old value, 2,000, add one maximum segment size, which is 1,000. Gives us 3,000. But very shortly after that, we receive another act. So we apply that equation again. And what do we get? 3,000 plus 1,000, we get 4,000. That's how this equation approximates doubling the window every round trip time. After the first round trip time, we went from 1,000 to 2,000. After approximately another round trip time, it was actually 100.08, but that's about one round trip time, we've gone from 2,000 to 4,000. If we do it again, now we can send four segments. We can send those four segments. We'll start. Oh no, let's be precise. 200.08. That's where we got to here. Actually, we could transmit a segment in here. That is, we could start transmitting the first next segment here, then a third, the next one, and three more. But again, we would see that that takes a very small amount of time, bringing us to something like 200.4, four segments times 0.08 is 0.32, so about 200.4. Again, the first one takes 100 to get back, so it's about 300, approximately 300, 300 point something. And the last one will be also approximately 300. Of course, it'll be larger then, but not much. So, in effect, time, or approximately 100 milliseconds, transmitted four segments. And that's why we get now, in this instance, we have 4,000 bytes sent in one round trip time. Here was 1,000 in one round trip time, 2,000 in approximately one round trip time, 4,000 in approximately one round. Next time, we're going to receive four acts. Receive the first act, window goes from 4,000 to 5,000. Receive the second act, goes to 6,000, the third, 7,000, and the last one will end up with a window of 8,000. So that's how, in about one round trip time, we double our window. We've gone from 1 to 2 to 4, and now it's at 8. We can send out 8 segments. Any questions on that before we move to the next step? So this is trying to explain these approximations that we've said in the morning. Let's just follow this one in a little bit more depth. Transmitted a data frame at time 100. The act gets back at exactly time 200. We increase the window to 3,000. which means we can send more packets. So we transmit another packet. Let's be precise. This red one here starts at time 200, finishes at time 200.08, because every packet takes 0.08 to transmit. At 200.08, we actually receive an ACK as well, which means our window is increased to 4,000. Every time we receive an ACK, increase the window. So we're in fact allowed to send more packets. We've just sent one out of the allowed of four. So we're allowed to send another three. One, two, three. So let's calculate the exact value. 200.08, 200.16, 200.24, 200.32. That's the time when that fourth segment has been transmitted. Let's keep going. So that's this one here, if we follow it on. This was at time 200.32. The first one was transmitted at time 200. The first ACK will come back at time 300. We'll increase the window to 5,000. The next ACK will come back at 200.08. We've got our numbers right. Yep. 200.08. We'll increase the window to 6,000. The next ACK at 200.16 increased to 7,000. And the last ACK, this red one, 200.32, it will come back at 300.24. Transmitted at 200.24, finished at 200.32, arrived back at 300.24. And we'll increase the window to 8,000 there. But all these details of 0.08, 0.24, 0.32, we're going to approximate and say, well, it's all about 300. It's all about start at 0, finish at 100. Start at 100, finish at 200. Start at 200, finish at 300. Rather than dealing with those details, we approximate and say, every round trip time, we send one segment, two segments, four segments. The next instance will be eight segments. We'll keep this. We'd send our eight segments, and in approximately one round-trip time, we'd receive eight ACKs back and increase to eventually 16. If our threshold was 16,000 bytes, our slow start threshold is a parameter of our TCP implementation. If that was 16,000 bytes, we've sent 2,000, we send 4,000, then we'll send 8,000. I won't draw that, but we'll send 8,000. And at the end of that, we would have increased the window up to 16,000. We've reached our threshold. So at approximately time 400, we'd send our 8 segments here, 400, and our window will be 16,000. We drew that in detail. 4,000. No, sorry. 400. 300 times 400. After that would be a window of about 16,000. We've reached our threshold. We send our 16 segments. 1 through to 16, starting at approximately time 400. At approximately time 500, we'll receive the axe. But since we've hit the threshold, we increase using this algorithm, this equation. The first ack is received. This is segment 1 through to 16. We send them all at time around 400. We'll receive the 16 acks at around time 500. Let's see what happens. Receive the first ack here. Using this equation, our window becomes the old value, 16,000, plus 1,000,000 divided by 16,000. That will be the new value after the first act. Using this equation, maximum segment size squared divided by the old window size gives some value. I cannot calculate that. The new value will then be used when the next act comes back, which will be the old value plus 1,000,000 divided by the old value, and the old value is the answer to this. And then we do that as the 16th act comes back. Again, we're simply using this equation. The old value, or the previous value, the 15th value, plus 1,000,000 divided by the 15th value. And we'll do it one more time to illustrate. So our window was 16,000. At time 400, our window was 16,000. It allowed us to send 16 segments. We send them, and we're going to get 16 acknowledgements back. For each acknowledgement, we're going to apply this equation and get our new value. So if the original value is 16,000, receive the first act, and we'll apply that equation, which is the old value equals the old value plus the maximum segment size squared. In our case, the maximum segment size is 1,000. 1,000 squared is 1,000,000 divided by the old value. Make sure you follow that equation. This is just this equation. Previous value plus 1,000,000 divided by the previous value, where I'm just using the spreadsheets to use the previous value. And then we do that 16 times. For the second act, act 2, it's the same equation. This equation here is B4, which is this one, plus 1,000,000 divided by B4, which is the previous one. So this is just applying this equation two times in a row. And we do that for all subsequent acts that we receive. We sent 16 segments, we're going to receive 16 acts. after the 16th ack, the window is 16,972. Approximately 17,000. That was our goal. In our additive increase phase, every round trip time increased by one maximum segment size. We started with 16,000. After receiving 16 acks, we've increased it to about 17,000. At time 400, we sent 16 segments. At time 500, we received 16 acks, and after receiving the last ack, our window has increased to about 17,000. Which is approximately 17,000. So you see how these equations implement our desired operation of increasing or doubling in slow start, increasing by one in additive increase. Any questions on this? This is important that you understand how TCP works here. You don't have to calculate all these. That's not the point. The point is to show that with these approximations, it does what we intend it to achieve. Doubling every round trip time in slow start, increased by one segment every round trip time in the additive increase phase. You can answer questions in the exam that ask you to explain the difference between an additive increase. If you look in last year's exam, it asks you to draw a diagram to illustrate the difference between them. Or, in one of the previous exams, it gave you these equations and asked you to explain the intention or to match them to the different mechanisms. So to know that this implements increments slow start. There are only two equations that increase the value. So one of them is going to be additive increase, one slow start. You need to know that slow start, despite what the name may you may think, is a faster increase than additive increase. This is a multiplicative increase or an exponential increase. As we saw in our example, every round trip time we have a significant, or we have approximately doubling. Lose a packet, then we halve the slow start threshold and set the window down to either the slow start threshold or one maximum segment size. So that's much easier when we lose a packet, depending on the type of packet loss event. The sender will know which one occurred. So any questions on how those approximations lead to the concept of TCP congestion control algorithm? Any questions before we finish on TCP? We have one more part of TCP to cover and then we'll finish for today. Make sure you have a look at those. If you don't believe this, you know how to do these calculations. Transmission time plus total propagation time. Propagation time, I've said, includes queuing delay and so on. You cannot calculate that. We just give it to you so that the total is about 100 milliseconds, the round trip time that we've said was used in our example. The last topic, TCP fairness, we'll just cover as a general concept. So congestion control works. It works quite well. It's used by all of our computers. There are different variations of the algorithm, but every computer, when you're transferring data across the internet and you're using TCP, you're using one of these control schemes. And it maintains, or it makes sure that there's no significant congestion in the internet. Basically, if there's congestion, you slow down sending. One of the issues, we've just looked at a single source sending across the internet. Another issue that arises with a performance perspective is fairness amongst multiple sessions. This will come up later when we look at peer-to-peer file sharing applications like BitTorrent. Consider a simple case where we have three source computers and three destinations. So we're going to be transmitting data from here to here, this host to this host, and the third pair. All over this one, let's say, this will be the bottleneck link. That is, this is the link with the lowest capacity along the path. Maybe the capacity of this is 100 megabits per second, 100, 100, 100, 100. This one may be 1 megabit per second. It's the lowest. So assuming we have this scenario, TCP fairness, or fairness is about making sure that everyone gets equal access to the resources. We are fair amongst the different users. TCP amongst connections is generally considered fair. That is, this person starts transferring data with TCP to this connection, the blue one starts, and at the same time the red one starts. So we've got three different computers transferring data at the same time, all over one single bottleneck link. If the capacity of this link was 1 megabit per second, then approximately, using the TCP congestion control mechanisms, approximately each TCP session would get one third of that, about 330 kilobits per second, ignoring overheads and so on. That is, TCP is fair amongst connections. Using the algorithms in TCP, each connection gets an equal share of the capacity. That's a good thing. That's what we'd like in the internet, that doesn't matter what or how many connections are sent, one should not get more than another. So in this case, each TCP connection or each TCP session gets an equal access to the capacity. That's okay, but the problem arises when an application uses more than one TCP connection. So if this was a case that we have three people, these are three web servers. These are three people with their web browsers downloading a file, one connection each. Then if this link was 1 megabit per second, each user would get a download speed of about 300, 330 kilobits per second, a third of the capacity. That's good. I want to download faster than you. What do? I can have an extra TCP connection for my application. And if this will work, the idea, well, some applications use more than one TCP connection. In the previous case, the applications just used a TCP connection. So there were three applications, each using one connection. TCP is fair amongst connections. If there's a link capacity of R, and there are N connections using that link, each connection gets r divided by n. We just divide by the number of connections. Now, this works in theory. In practice, some things may cause a little bit of unfairness. That is, if people use different maximum segment sizes or they start at slightly different times. But in most cases, they are fair amongst the connections. The problems that arise is if I run an application and that uses two different connections, two separate connections. You are running your applications using one connection and this person's using one connection. I've got a special web browser that when it wants to download a large file, it establishes two parallel connections to the web server. TCP works as per its design. Across this bottleneck link, the capacity is equally shared amongst the four TCP connections. Red one gets 250 kilobits per second, blue one 250, green one 250, green two 250. So TCP is fair amongst connections, but the problem arises now is that if an application uses multiple TCP connections, that application can get more than others, other people, other users. This application gets 250, this application gets 250, this application gets 500. That's not fair amongst applications, or more generally, not fair amongst users. So extend that. This is an internet service provider's network. There are many customers. The customers that run applications with multiple connections start to get more of the capacity of the internet service provider's network. So the people who have applications with just a single connection get much less than the customers that have multiple connections. So what you do, use an application that uses multiple connections. But if everyone does that, you do not gain. So this is a problem that arises in the internet, and it's especially significant in peer-to-peer applications. Applications like BitTorrent and other file-sharing applications which establish many connections at the one time to multiple destinations, downloading from each of those connections at once. Those users will get a large overall capacity. The other users will get much less. And in fact, these other users, if this one opened 10 connections, then it will get 10 out of 12 or 10 twelfths of the capacity. This will get 1 twelfth and 1 twelfth. That is, from these users' perspective, they'll get a very small portion of the capacity and start to think that they're not getting good service. So this is a problem with TCP, or a problem with how TCP is used in some applications. There's no easy way to fix that. We'll see when we look at file sharing applications how that arises in a little bit more depth. So to finish on TCP, the Internet Protocol, IP, hasn't got any inbuilt congestion control mechanisms. TCP has the congestion control, and the Internet relies on TCP mechanisms to avoid collapse. About 90% of the traffic on the Internet is TCP. The rest is UDP and other traffic. So it's used almost all the time. It's been very successful over the last 20 or 30 years for congestion control. But if applications choose not to follow these congestion control algorithms, if you write your own version of TCP and you change the algorithms, you can cause problems. And if applications start to use multiple TCP connections, again, that can cause problems. So with the growth of peer-to-peer file sharing applications, and also applications using UDP, like voice and video calls, some problems start to arise. And our next topics are going to deal with these different applications: voice, video, peer-to-peer applications. So that finishes TCP. We will move on to the next topic on how to support voice and video next week. And you'll have your assignments back next week as well. You'll have your marks today or tomorrow.